But right now, we're putting the focus on an incredible expedition that's set to head to Antarctica. Antarctica is a continent that surrounds the South Pole, and it remains the most mysterious continent on the Earth. No one lives there permanently. It's the coldest, windiest, and driest place on Earth, and it is almost entirely covered in ice. The lowest temperature measured at -88 degrees Celsius. During the summer, it has 24-hour daylight. No nights. And during winter, Antarctica has 24-hour nights when it is continuously dark for about 1 month. So this expedition is coming at the right time. It is apparently said that you can only reach it between November and December and April, May. So it's coming at the right time. Much of South Africa's researchers work in Antarctica and the oceans that surround it. And this time around, our researchers are involved in an unprecedented opportunity to investigate and explore one of the most remote and least studied places on our planet, and to collaborate with international research colleagues across different disciplines in a major international scientific expedition, which will explore one of the coldest, harshest, and most remote locations in the world, the Weddell Sea of Antarctica. So joining us now to tell us more about this 45-day voyage is Dr. Sarah Fawcett, lecturer in the Department of Oceanography at the University of Cape Town. Dr. Fawcett, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Azania.
I was trying to paint a picture of this very stark, very cold and windy setting that you're headed to in this voyage that's going to take 45 days, where you'll be conducting really critical research. So studies done in Antarctica are critical to enhance our understanding of the entire Earth system. What are you looking for?
Oh, wow. so this expedition in particular is focused in the Weddell Sea. And what's very exciting about that is that it is such a remote location, as you pointed out, and it's one that it's very difficult to get to, and you'd have to go in a ship. You know, there's no other way to get there. And we here in South Africa are lucky that we have this beautiful ice-breaking research vessel that's owned by our Department of Environmental Affairs. And it's actually, even though the expedition is being led by the Scott Polar Research Institute in the UK, the ship that they're going to be using is ours.
Yes. Let's look at that ship, the SA Agalas II. It was first built in 2012, and it's one of the largest and most modern. What is it able to do, especially for the purposes that you're going there for?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's strengthened against the ice. It's capable of moving in ice that's up to a meter thick.
Wow.
And at the same time conducting scientific research. So it's designed that you're able to deploy instrumentation from the ship or even through the ship so that you can access open water when the ice is all around you. And one of the things that's happening on this particular expedition, so the expedition's goals are to investigate the ice shelf that's people may be familiar with the Larsen ice shelf because a big portion of it broke off last year and there was a lot of press about this massive iceberg. And it's because that region of the Southern Ocean is warming so fast. In any case, so there's going to be all this work happening in and around the ice sheet. And in order to do that, we have to deploy basically these little robots from the ship. And so the ship has to have the capabilities to load those robots into the water, bring them back, track them, all that kind of thing. And this particular vessel can operate doing that in thick ice. You know, I mean, the personnel on the ship are particularly qualified in order to be able to do that. So it wouldn't be possible without this vessel.
Wow. And so far we've had studies of these ice sheets from above. So it's important that we also understand what's happening beneath the ice sheets. But what is it? And it's coming at a time, as you say, we're quite concerned about the melting of this fresh water, of these glaciers and icebergs because of increasing temperatures. So we have a good window to understand what is going on and to inform our decisions moving forward.
Right, that's true. And you know, the Weddell Sea is—it's one of the, I guess you could say, most pristine regions on Earth because there's never been any commercial fishing in that region, for example. And there's a big conversation going on among the various signatories of the Antarctic Treaty, of which we are one.
Yes.
To declare it a marine protected area, which, you know, would be very important for keeping it pristine moving forward. But nonetheless, the activities of mankind elsewhere on the planet are having this effect in the region because it's warming not only from above, but also from the sea surface temperature below.
Right.
And we don't really understand exactly what's going to happen there. And while that ice itself will not cause sea level to rise because it's already in the water, as those icebergs, that ice shelf breaks off, it allows for ice on the Antarctic continent to move towards the sea, and ultimately that will lead to sea level rising when that ice melts.
And that is a source of concern. So let's go back to these little robots that you spoke of that will be helping you to get to the depths that you need to access very inaccessible parts of these ice sheets and Antarctica. So will you be deploying them to the sea floor as well?
So I imagine, I mean, we don't own the robot ourselves, but I think, you know, they'll be used to look underneath the ice because they have video and photograph, they can take photographs and that kind of thing and measure, you know, temperature, salinity, all that kind of thing. But I think some of them will go down to the seafloor, so roughly probably about 3 kilometers down, because one of the goals of this expedition is actually to look for the wreck of Shackleton's Endurance, the ship that sank there in 1915. And so if they do manage to find it, they want to video it, get an idea of what condition it's in, all that kind of stuff.
So why is that wreckage significance of the of Endurance?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I suppose it depends who you ask. I mean, you know, this is one of those things that his ship was completely consumed by the ice while they were trying to do the scientific research. And in the end, not a single person on that expedition died. Shackleton managed to get all the way to South Georgia in like a tiny little lifeboat and brought back reinforcements to save all of his crew. So I guess it's indicative of sort of the spirit of exploration and very iconic of Antarctic research. But really, the instrumentation that people will be using to look for the wreck is going to allow us to understand so much more about the science of the region, you know, because that wreck by now will have become colonized by marine life. And we don't know what that's going to look like, but I imagine that could be incredible diversity down there, and that'll be part of it, that if they discover the location of the wreck, they'll want to get an idea of what's growing there to make sure that it can be protected, you know. So there's a lot to it.
Yes. You mentioned earlier that South Africa is part of the international, is part of the Antarctica Treaty, that we're part of this, a number of countries that are interested in protecting not just the Weddell Sea, but also Antarctica because of the fragile environment that it is. We also have the Prince Edward Islands in the area where we have stations that help us with the understanding our climate and our weather. So we've played quite a major role. What is your view of how South Africa has gotten involved and how we've maintained our role over the years, not just in relation to the islands, but in relation to Antarctica as well?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So South Africa was one of the original signatories of the Antarctic Treaty. So we've been involved since the beginning. And, you know, there's a very active group of researchers who care very deeply about understanding the role of this region in governing our climate, but also what we are doing to change these regions, the islands, as you mentioned, the Antarctic continent. We have everything from space research to marine biology, geology going on. And I think there's also been some very strategic and sensible investment from the Department of Environmental Affairs, for example, buying the ship. I mean, you know, if your listeners haven't actually seen this vessel, it's moored in Cape Town Harbor most of the time at the V&A waterfront. It's absolutely beautiful. And right now, she is the most modern icebreaker on the global seas. So we, as a small country, are punching above our weight having that. So we're pretty lucky, actually.
Yeah, we're pretty lucky. So how are you preparing for this? Because when you hear of temperatures of minus 88 degrees Celsius, yes, that might not be the case now, because this is seen as one of those ideal times to be able to reach Antarctica, April, May, and also in November, December. How does one possibly prepare?
Yeah. Well, it won't be minus 88 degrees. I suppose that's a blessing.
Yes, that's a good start.
Because it will be the middle of summer, as you said. And, of course, the ship is very comfortable. So that helps a lot.
Yeah.
And we will have 24 hours of daylight, which that to me is a little bit mind-blowing. But I think that, well, what people report is that it makes you very energetic and, you know, you can work 20 hours a day. So let's hope that's true. Let's hope that's true for my students. How about that?
So it'll be a multidisciplinary team. Take me through some of the experts or the skills that will be going.
Yes, it will be multidisciplinary and also international. So there will be marine biologists looking at, you know, the region is full of whales and penguins and seals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all that kind of thing. Marine glaciologists, because, of course, a big component is trying to understand what's happening with the ice. Oceanographers, both physical, so the circulation of the region, and chemical, so chemists who want to understand the cycling of carbon dioxide, for example. There will be marine archaeologists because of the Shackleton component. I think I've covered everything.
Right. It's exciting. So we'll look forward to the reports coming back when the expedition does take place, when this historic voyage happens. Thank you so much, Dr. Fawcett.
Yes, thank you.
That is Dr. Sarah Fawcett, lecturer in the Department of Oceanography at UCT. A 45-day voyage is coming, and they'll be conducting important research and polar research from this vessel, this SA Agalas II, which is one of the largest and most modern, as you've just heard, from 2012, the most modern in the world at the moment. And it has a wide range of science laboratories and facilities that allows them to carry out all the experiments and research that will be requirements and research that will be required, and what kind of insights will come from there, we wait to see when they return.